Let's look at those five battleground seats. Where are they?
District 5 is Kerry Donovan running against Republican challenger Dara Lund. District 16 is down in Jefferson County. It's Tammy Story, the Democrat, is challenging Tim Neville, the Republican incumbent. District 20 is an open seat currently held by Sherry Jean, who was a Democrat and flipped to become an independent. That's an open seat now. That's Jesse Danielson against Christine Jensen. I think that's down in Adams County. District 22 is Brittany Pedersen against, I think it's Tony Sanchez. That's a seat that was formerly held by Senator Andy Kerr, a Democrat. And District 24 is Faith Winner, a Democratic House member, is challenging Beth Martinez-Humenik.
Who's the most vulnerable?
I would probably say at this point it would be Beth Martinez-Humenik. And the reason for that is all these seats were last up in 2014, which is a very good year to be a Republican. It was a Republican wave year. All the signs of this year are suggesting that it's going to be the opposite in 2018. And in the intervening years, the Democrats have gained voter registration advantage in all of these districts since that time, mirroring sort of what's happened statewide.
What effect has this had on money flowing into state Senate races?
There's an enormous amount of money flowing into these five Senate races. In terms of the candidates themselves, the Democratic candidates have far outraised the Republican candidates. But that gap has been narrowed a bit by the amount of outside money that's coming in from groups like the Senate Majority Fund on the Republican side and Coloradans for Fairness on the Democratic side, with most of the money coming in on the Republican side there, and again, to help. I think it's the last time I checked, about 2 weeks ago, it was about a 2-to-1 advantage that the Republican groups had done. There's just a ton of money coming into these races.
Colorado Senate has been through a lot with allegations of sexual misconduct and harassment against members from both parties. How will this affect this year's Senate elections?
Well, I'm not sure it will be foremost in voters' minds, but I do think it might have had an effect earlier in the year when people were deciding whether to run or not, and there was a big upsurge in enthusiasm among Democratic voters. There was also a large influx of women candidates for a number of these seats. And so I think that it might have had an effect there with the people who decided that they were going to run for office and donate money and volunteer for campaigns, all that sort of stuff, got involved back in the spring.
What would it mean for Colorado Senate to flip from Republican control to Democratic control? And what effect would the gubernatorial race have on that?
On issues like transportation and perhaps oil and gas development and regulation, there might be a greater chance for legislative action should the Democrats take control of the state Senate. I think that a number of oil and gas bills, for example, were defeated in the state Senate last time by Republicans who had a one-seat advantage. They were able to kill those bills in committee. They never got to the floor for a vote. And I think some of that stuff, again, depending on what happens in the ballot measures, 112, et cetera, and 74, I think that you may see some movement on those issues, and again on transportation, depending on what happens on that ballot measure.
Outside of these Senate races, are there any legislative races you're keeping an eye on?
Well, there are several that are likely to flip. One is the seat that was vacated by Steve Lebsack when he was expelled from the General Assembly. The Republicans had a chance to sort of nominate that seat when Lebsack, before he was expelled, switched parties. So the Republicans got to name somebody to that seat. That's a seat that's likely to flip back to the Democrat.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Robert Duffy is a political science professor at Colorado State University. This is KUNC.